Good morning, everyone. It's 9 o'clock and we have a quorum, so we'll go ahead and get started. I'd like to call to order the October 6th, 2022 Vision Zero Act Advisory Committee meeting. Staff, if you could, please call the roll so that we can establish a quorum.
At this time, I'm only asking those VZAC members attending in person to respond by saying here when I call your name. I do want to remind you to unmute your microphones by pushing the button on the base prior to responding. We have had a few issues with our microphones, so you may have to double click the button on the base. Alternates, please also state your name if you are attending on behalf of a VZAC representative. Tracy Phelps.
Present.
Bruce Rosenzweig.
Here.
Craig Pinder. Ted Goodenough.
Here.
Joan Oliva.
Krista Bros for Joan.
Thank you. Joanne Scaria. Fadi Nassar.
Neil for Fadi.
JC Beery.
Here.
David Willich.
Here.
Jean Matthews.
Here.
Bruce Goyton.
Here.
Thank you. Michael Owens. Christian Santa Gonzalez. John Roach.
Here.
Larry Wallace, Wibbit Hay, FDOT, not here. Okay. Amy Alvarez or the City of Delray Beach. And Stephanie Thoburn will be absent today. Okay. We do have a an in-person quorum, Mr. Chair.
All right, great, thank you. Staff, are there any modifications to the agenda?
I'm so sorry. Sorry. Yes, Mr. Chair. The following members are requesting VZAC permission to participate remotely. That will be Michael Owens due to staffing shortages at the school district. I have not seen Mr. Owens join us virtually yet, but I will let you know when he joins us. Additionally, FDOT does have a different representative here than their normal Larry Wallace.
Okay, here. Great. VZAC members, are there any objections to allowing Mr. Owens if he joins virtually? Nope, seeing none. So these members are approved to participate remotely. Amanda, if you can please note their attendance in the amendments. Thank you.
Yes, Mr. Chair.
Thank you.
Are there any changes to the minutes for September 8th, 2022? Nobody has any changes? Okay, if not, can I have a motion to adopt the minutes as presented?
So moved.
I'll second.
I have a motion by Bruce and a second by David. Any discussion? Okay. All in favor, please say aye.
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 Opposed? Nay. Motion passes unanimously. We'll go into general public comments and public comments on agenda items. There are instructions on how to provide public comments on that are included on the agenda. Staff, have any general comments been received?
Not at this time, Mr. Chair.
Okay, thank you. So we'll move to comments from the chair and member comments. At this time, I want to invite any VZAC member comments on items not already on the agenda. And for members participating remotely, please utilize the raise hand feature in Zoom. And remember to unmute your microphone once you're recognized. So I will open the floor to any member comments on non-agenda items. Does anybody have any? No? Okay. I definitely want to express my thoughts and condolences to all those who have been impacted by Hurricane Ian. Certainly quite a challenge in the weeks, months, and years ahead for all those who have been impacted. I actually saw a post the other day by a colleague and kind of presented an interesting question of where would you even begin the rebuilding process? And how many places are actually even in the position where they're prepared and have the vision, you know, of how they want to rebuild, given the extent of some of that damage. So just something to think about as we go back to our respective communities and think about if we were the ones who were impacted to that degree. So again, thoughts and condolences to everyone. We'll go on to the VZAC liaisons report. At this time, I'll invite Valentina Fukus, VZAC liaison, to provide an update.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I do want to take this opportunity to quickly and formally introduce myself, as I couldn't do so at our previous meeting. So as Brian announced at our previous meeting, I was promoted to the bicycle and pedestrian coordinator role. And in this new role, I will be serving as your new liaison for the Vision Zero Advisory Committee, and also administrating the Transportation Alternatives Program. So I'm pleased to be serving as your new liaison, and I'm also looking forward to be working with you all in this new capacity. And with that, let's dig into my liaison report. So we are very excited to welcome our new transportation planner, Mr. Tyler Radenbaugh. Tyler, you wanna say hi? Tyler is a Florida Atlantic University alumni and is coming to the TPA with strong analytical and spatial GIS skills. So we are very pleased to have him. The 26th annual Walk and Roll to School Day is coming up October 12th. This event celebrates safe walking and bicycling to school, encouraging safe transportation users for life. And we will also be tabling at this event, spreading bicycle and pedestrian safety awareness, in addition to encouraging schools to consider conducting walk bike safety audits. And you can learn more at walkbiketoschool.org. October is National Pedestrian Safety Month, and this national event aims to raise awareness year-round to reduce deaths, educate road users, and remind us that everyone is a pedestrian. So in an effort to spread awareness, I encourage everyone to try walking, even if it's just a mental health walk day. and also even try walking as a micromobility option. And for more information, you can visit the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration website. Next is FDOT is conducting a statewide celebration of making smart, efficient, and safe transportation choices during Mobility Week. And this will occur October 21st through October 28th, 2021. I do strongly encourage municipalities to try and participate during this week and set up an event. And for more information, you can visit the FDOT website. In addition to that, FDOT is also hosting a statewide challenge to encourage people to bike, and that will occur October 21st through November 30th, 2022. And participants can register as workplace teams, social groups, or as individuals, and you can compete and even win prizes. And for more information on that, you can visit lovetoride.net/Florida. Next is the Vision Seer for Youth U.S. Leadership Award, and applications are now open for that. And the deadline to apply is October 21st, 2022. Who would be qualified for that would be any city, county, or tribal government. And for more information on that, you can visit the Vision Seer for Youth website. We will be holding our grant application workshop to provide an overview of our three funding programs on November 3rd from 2 to 4:30 p.m. And for more information, you can visit our website. The last day of the 2022 Railvolution Conference happening at the Intercontinental Miami Hotel on October 30th through November 2nd. There will be a free event to discuss transportation from 2 to 5:30 p.m. So it'd be a good thing to check out. The Urban Land Institute Florida Summit will be held in Miami on December 5th through the 7th with a free elected official and public sector workshop. And for more information, you can visit the website on the liaison report and also email the email that's on the liaison report. Our next TPA governing board meeting will be held on October 20th at 9 a.m. And for more information and the meeting details, you can visit our website. World Day of Remembrance for Road Traffic Victims will be held on November 21st. And this event's very important It's led by members of Families for Safe Streets and the Vision Zero Network, partnering with local and state level advocates. And for more information, you can visit Vision Zero Network. And finally, you can save the date for the 10th annual regional Safe Streets Summit that will be held on February 2nd through the 3rd at the Diplomat Beach Resort in Hollywood, Florida. For more information, you can visit safestreetsummit.org. And that is a wrap on my liaison report.
Thank you, Valentina. A lot of great activities coming up in the next couple months. Staff, are there any public comments on this item?
Not at this time, Mr. Chair.
Do any committee members have any comments or questions with regards to the liaison's report? No? Well, welcome, Valentina. Thank you for your exciting introduction and introduction of Tyler to the group, and certainly welcome to him. And also congratulations to Brian on his 15 minutes of fame as he was on Channel 25 News the other day. So great job there promoting the walk and roll of the school day. So we will go on to the next item, which is action items. Motion to recommend approval of the 2023 transportation alternatives and program guidelines and scoring system. I'll invite Valentina Fukus, TPA lead pedestrian and bicycle coordinator, to present this item.
Okay, good morning, everyone. So today I'll be presenting an overview of the guidelines and scoring system for fiscal year 2023 Transportation Alternatives Program. And just as a reminder to everyone, this is an action item, so it will require a vote at the end of the presentation and discussion. So jumping into the program, for this program, projects are eligible for funds on or off the federal aid roadway network. And some of the projects that this can fund are Safe Routes to School projects, so projects such as infrastructure and non-infrastructure projects, as well as bicycle and pedestrian facilities, bicycle and pedestrian signals, and just overall safety projects. We are very thrilled to announce that we have received additional funding for this new funding cycle. So last year, we were looking at $3.3 million of overall funding for the program with a $1 million maximum per project. And for this funding cycle, we're looking at $5.1 million of available funding with a new $1.5 million maximum per project, keeping the same $250,000 minimum. And the graphic that you see at the bottom of the slide illustrates the timeline of the program. So starting with the application submittal, that will be February 17th at 5 p.m. 2023. Following that is the availability of funding for the design process, which will be 2024. And a reminder for that, that has to be funded locally. And as many as you know, this is a three-year program, so construction funding won't become available until July 1st, 2026. So to kick off the program, in order for that to happen, we need approval from our TPA governing board meeting. So that will be October 20th, 2022. Following that, we have our program application workshop, which will be held at the TPA office with a virtual option and recorded live November 3rd, 2022. And for this application workshop, we will be providing an overview of our three funding programs, and it will be a great opportunity for applicants to just get any clarification on the program. And we can answer any questions such as eligibility or just overall timeline of the program. For the pre-application meeting, this is required, and I will be sending out a calendar invitation. where applicants can schedule a meeting with me during the window of November 7th, 2022 through January 31st, 2023. And in this pre-application meeting, applicants will have the opportunity to present to FDOT and TPA staff on their proposed projects. So for the application deadline, that is February 17th, 2023 at 5 p.m. Following that, we will be having the scoring on our VZAC meeting of April 6, 2023. And finally, the proposed projects will go forward for approval from our committees and board, and then will be submitted to FDOT for approval over the course of July 2023. So the application process for this year is fairly the same as last year, with the only exception that for this year, applicants will just have to submit the FDOT GAP application. So all applicants and supporting all applications and supporting materials must be submitted directly to the FDOT grant application process application portal, you can see in the graphic below. And to facilitate the process, we will be including the FDOT GAP portal hyperlink and application on our TA website. And for more information on that and instructions on how to use the GAP will be provided at our workshop on November 3rd, 2022. Oops. So there are no changes for the program scoring. However, I did want to emphasize that applicants are encouraged to use our TPA mapping tool to complete the application. So one example of one of the layers that we have available using this mapping tool is the bicycle and pedestrian high crash corridor, which has been identified in our Vision Zero Action Plan, in addition to other items. So again, the workshop will be held November 3rd, 2022 from 2 to 4:30 p.m. And we will be providing an overview of our three funding programs. So state route modification, which is eligible on state roads, local initiatives program, eligible on federal aid roads, and of course our transportation alternatives program, eligible on or off federal aid roads. And applications are due February 17th, 2023 at 5 p.m. And you can find more information at palmbeachtpa.org/funding. And with that, I'd like to request a motion to recommend approval of the transportation alternatives program guidelines and scoring systems.
Okay, before we go into committee discussion, staff, are there any public comments on this item?
There are no public comments at this time, but I would like to let the record show that Michael Owens has joined us virtually, Michael Melendez from FDOT has joined us in person, and Craig Pinder has also joined us in person.
Okay, thank you. Thank you all for joining us. So no public comment? Okay.
No.
So do we have any committee members who have comments? David?
John, I do. Excuse me.
Oh, that was Michael Owens virtually.
Hey, I don't know if you can hear me.
I think he was first.
Okay. Michael, go ahead.
Hey, good morning, everyone. Thank you, Valentina, for that presentation. I just have a quick question as it pertains to the school district. I was looking at eligibility for certain items, and I was wondering, they have here traffic calming and speed reduction improvements. Also, it says infrastructure projects, but I wanted to know if, you know, at some of our schools, particularly the elementary schools, we have 20 mile per hour flashers that usually are provided, or the equipment is rather provided by local governments. But I was wondering, and I didn't see where it would not be eligible, but would something like that be eligible if we're looking at placing a new, some new apparatus at, let's say, for argument's sake, Blue Lake Elementary down in Boca, is that something that would be eligible or no, those the 20 mile per hour flashing apparatus? Because it is speed reduction for a certain period of time. I just want to know if something like that would be eligible.
Yeah, that would be eligible.
Okay, good deal. Because, all right, that's one of the things we'd be looking at as a district to apply for. I was going to send this off to leadership here to see if there was any interest from them. And then if anything, I would attend the workshop you said in November, correct?
Correct.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you, Michael. David?
I was just curious, 5.1 million, you said?
Correct.
So that's almost 2 million more. Is that going to be every year from now on, or is that a one-time thing?
I believe it will be increasing. So I think it's 10% of the surface transportation block grant. Yeah, and I think Andrew.
Good morning, Andrew Euler, Deputy Director of Program Development. Yes, so that would be this is from the new bipartisan infrastructure law bill, BIL. And the money actually starts from fiscal year 2022, so our previous fiscal year, and it's all the way up and continues forward. So that amount of money is available now, and it's gonna be into the future. The way we're using the money now for these current years, where we already have priorities for transportation alternatives, a lot of those products have gone up in cost. So a lot of that's gonna be eaten up by that. But if there's still money available after that, we'll look at other priorities that we have as TA and see if we can push them up any further. But yes, the money will be available continuously from here on out.
So you think it'll be at least like 5.1 from now on, if not increasing from that point?
Correct.
Great. All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Andrew. Bruce?
Yes, I just have a quick question, and you may have covered it, and if you did, forgive me because I missed it. How is this program promoted and or advertised outside of the TPA website, or is it?
That's a great question. I'll let Andrew answer.
These programs are typically just obviously on our website, and then also get through emails to our partners and correspondence through that. So community members get those. So city engineers get those, and then also city administration. So we'll send those email blasts out to put the word out. And that's typically how we get the notice of funding out for them.
Do you work with other organizations like the Municipal League and other entities that may have stakeholders that may be interested in that regard?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we do work with them throughout the year, like, you know, Florida League of Cities and some other organizations that we go and do presentations for. One of the slides during those presentations is typically about our funding programs and the one like you're talking about today.
Yeah, and the reason I asked, this is a good program, and I just want to make sure that it's being promoted at a maximum level, and those who may have an interest and may qualify, I just want them to have an opportunity to do so. So this is not a criticism, this is just maybe we can expand our promotion and advertising.
That's a good idea. And if you have additional suggestions for organizations to give it to, we'd be happy to send it forward. Thank you.
And I think that's important. You know, correct me if I'm wrong, where last year we didn't even have enough applications to cover the full funding amount. So, you know, I think it'd be interesting to know why we didn't get more applications, and especially if we're going to be getting more funding this year and the years ahead, you know, we don't want to leave money on the table that, you know, that we could otherwise use. In
quick question. I'm sorry, Mr. Chair. Is this a lose it or use it opportunity for the additional funds?
I'm sorry, can you repeat that?
Is this some funding is a, you either use it or you lose it. You don't get it anymore from the funding source. Is that apropos here? That's the question. Is this a use it or lose it funding source?
Sure. The ones that we're talking about today is formula funds that we receive as an urbanized area. But you are correct, at a higher level, like at a national level, they are use it or lose it, right? So if you're not spending all your dollars towards transportation,
that's my question.
Other states are going to start tapping into that. So the state of Florida, though, has always been overprescribed, and they spend a lot of money, of state money, and they federalize projects. So that never happens to Florida. And then DOT stays on top of the MPOs to make sure that we're getting every dollar program somewhere.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Jean?
Again, yeah, I was surprised last year. I was very pleased that all the applications got funded, but I was surprised that we did not have more applications. And I wonder if part of it is the commitment on the applicant to provide the design dollars to get the project designed. And I wondered if there is some alternative funding for design out there that could be tapped into.
Good question. We were speaking with DOT the other day, actually, and they informed us that our district recently has been amenable to paying for design as well and CEI. And we haven't really explored how that would play out with them and with you all. So, you know, we could theoretically use the TA funding for design. But that's more of a greater discussion we could have now about that. And we can, you know, do more research and have discussion about that in the future. But the one thing is that it sort of puts more skin in the game when the locals are designing with their own funding. Another one is that obviously you have less money overall for construction if we're trying to pay for design, but it is something that is an eligible expense. And we could explore moving that direction to provide that support if you want us to look into it.
Yes, I would recommend it because I think about some of the municipalities I work with, like South Bay and Pokey. They might have very good projects, or even this town of Haverhill, very good projects because they have very small population bases. They have smaller budgets, and it would be difficult for them to come up with the design. So maybe fund design in ready areas and also with a certain threshold of people living below the medium income.
Sure. Yes, that's a good point as well. And Jason just reminded me a second ago about these are all LAP certified, right? So you have to be able to receive and administer federal funds. And that's can be a big hurdle for smaller municipalities. And those are ways we're trying to look at the mechanisms with that too, about how can we get these things designed and constructed. Working with Palm Beach County, if we can, to ministers, and we're still in ongoing discussions about that, and then maybe DOT sometimes.
And I will say Palm Beach County is LAP certified, but the town of South Bay applied for grant funding to renovate a historic transportation railroad cottage, and then they ended up asking Palm Beach County Parks and Recreation to take it over, and we were able to restore it using TE funds, and the project came out beautifully, and we were very grateful for the funds, and our project manager was very astute. But we ended up having two binders that were 6 inches thick on a single railroad cottage for compliance. So even for us, and I feel like we're very skilled, it's daunting. We ended up bringing in a consultant who specializes in the compliance. Mm. So yeah, any help that we could get would be hugely helpful.
Okay, anything else? I think that's an important comment to bring up because, and we actually, I think we had that conversation last year, just the burden that's often put onto these, you know, smaller projects just because it becomes federalized based upon the grant, you know, the source of the funds and, you know, what it takes to administer a project like that. You know, I'd be intrigued, does that scare projects away from even applying and so forth? So I think that would be an interesting discussion. And I believe it came up at the technical advisory committee the other day, the thought of having kind of a post grant round evaluation. And I thought that was an interesting conversation, not only to look at how are we scoring them and so forth, but also what could we be doing better to increase the number of applications? You know, are we happy with the types of applications that are coming in? Are there certain other projects, you know, smaller projects that you know, could be very viable projects that could be funded, but for whatever reason they weren't included, you know, they didn't submit an application or they didn't rank high enough and things like that. So I kind of like that idea of the post round, you know, the post grant cycle evaluation, as opposed to waiting till right before the next one, you know, October of 2023. If we can look at it earlier in the year and see where we can make changes or improvements, I think that that would be beneficial. So
thank you.
Are there any other comments or questions from committee members? Nobody on? Okay. So if there are none, I will entertain a motion to recommend approval of the 2023 Transportation Alternatives and Program Guidelines and Scoring System, and then we'll open it for discussion.
So moved.
I'll second.
I have a motion by Bruce and a second by David. Any discussion on the motion? No? Do we want to do roll call or we just want to do a group?
You can do a verbal.
Okay. All right. So all those in favor, please say aye.
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 All those opposed, please say nay. Motion passes unanimously. Thank you. Thank you, Valentina. So we will go on to informational items. I believe there are no informational items on the agenda. Okay. Administrative items. So items 4.A through 4.D are informational only. There'll be no staff presentations unless requested by a committee member. Does anybody request a presentation on any of these? No? Okay. Are there any public comments on these items?
Not at this time, Mr. Chair.
Yes, Bruce.
Oh.
Can you turn your mic?
There you go. Sorry. The FDOT scheduling report, is that a report that's available?
I believe it was included at the end of the...
Is it at the end of the agenda?
Yes, Mr. Rosenzweig, it is included in the backup agenda. Are you requesting a presentation from staff?
I just wanted to know, I'm sorry, I was remiss in not reading all the way through pages, but was there a mention made or... any information about the RRR projects that are going on A1A starting next year?
Our staff is pulling that report up right now for you to get you that answer.
And also the Glades Road I-95 interchange and the Clintmore Bridge. So all areas I drive.
I think Andrew is going to provide some information.
Can you hear me now? Okay,
there we go. There you go.
The report that we provide in the backup is a shortened version, so it only includes the next 90 days. But we can provide the full one that we get from FDOT for you. That will have all those products listed as well. Looking at for the next 90 days, I don't see any of the A1A ones on there, especially if they've, I'm not sure if they've even started design yet. So some of them might be still going through just the multimodal scoping checklist. But I can send you the full report that gives a full update for you.
Okay. Just to mention as a preamble to what's going to happen, apparently there are three RRR projects scheduled. And they cover the length from Palmetto Park Road to, I think, just north of Linton or about Linton.
Okay.
And they're divided up into three different sections. The timing sort of falls out so that they're almost overlapping. DOT gave a presentation in Highland Beach a few weeks ago, and there was a bit of consternation that the full stretch of those 8 miles, I think it is, 7 to 8 miles, is going to be a bit of a burden for everyone. So just to know what we're up against, and I wanted to know what kind of accommodations they're making or what their plan is to keep the traffic flowing as best they can.
I'm looking at our online map right now. It looks like that's construction set for fiscal year 2025. So design should be starting pretty soon here. And we can get you more information about how that's going. That's, you know, obviously there's the ones down in the south part of the county. We also have A1A projects in the central part of the county as well, over here in Lake Worth Beach and Palm Beach Island.
Anything else, Bruce or Gene? No. Yeah, Andrew, if you could just email the full report out, but call out those specific projects that were mentioned by Bruce and Gene, that would be great. So
we'll do.
Tracy, you have an item?
Clintmore Road was supposed to have been open on September 30th, the bridge. Because of the hurricane, the OT suspended work for a week, and the final inspection on the bridge was supposed to take place before the bridge opened, so that got canceled too. So they are in the process of rescheduling that final inspection. And once that final inspection is done, the bridge should be open. The DDI was supposed to open November 11th. We just met with them with some of the representatives yesterday, and it's not going to open November 11th. It's probably, we don't have an exact date, but it's before the end of the year. Yeah. The A1A is in design and through the south part of the county. We at the city of Boca just stalled, I think, 11 rapid flashing beacons on A1A. And I don't think they're not optional or they're not operational yet, but the beacons are out there. I think they're going to put some sidewalk in on that design too. So that's what I know now on those questions that you had. And I know this should have been at the beginning, but totally my coffee hadn't hit in, took effect yet. But I think it's October 26th, DOT, TPA here and Boca. It's mostly a DOT thing. They're opening the traffic counter on the El Rio Trail near the Tri-Rail station. So we'll start getting pedestrian and bicycle statistics on the Tri-Rail. And they're having a grand opening ceremony at 9 o'clock, I think, on October 26th. I think there's a couple in the county, up in Northwest Palm Beach, some counters on something somewhere, according to the map, but I know this is, I think this is the first one in the county on a trail.
Yeah. So Brian Reuscher, Deputy Director of Multimodal, I just wanted to give you a heads up. Due to Larry Wallace's departure at the DOT, the ribbon cutting for the facilities are going to be canceled. We're trying to make sure that we schedule something that's a little bit more in line with the schedule and operations of the counters themselves, but there won't be an event for that this month. The TPA is hosting a series and helping other organizations host events throughout the county for FDOT's Mobility Week, as Valentina mentioned. The Palm Beach Chamber North is going to be doing an encouragement campaign that we've assisted them with in developing materials for. So any of our partners that are in the 11 North municipalities of that area, look for a social media campaign from the Chamber North. And then we are also hosting a bike ride on October 22nd with the city of West Palm Beach. We're working with engineering, Bright Bike, and the Department of Sustainability might be the department to
I believe so.
Formal name. That will be on the morning of the 22nd, and it'll be announced next week. So we're hosting a number of events for Mobility Week, but the ribbon cutting for the El Rio Trail, that will not move forward. So thank you.
Thank you for the update.
All right. Thank you, Tracy. Brian? Anybody else have any comments? No? All right, just bring everyone's attention. The next meeting of the VZAC will be on December 8th. There is no November meeting, so enjoy your extra month off. And with that, unless I hear otherwise, we stand adjourned. Thank you, everybody.
Take care, everyone. Be safe.